All right. So here we are at Kev, Deuteronomy 7, 12 through 11, 25. And I've titled this this week's message, Not by Bread Alone. Now, it has to do with life, because it's not just life today as we think of it, but it's life and life eternal. And there are some who believe only in this life, only what's going on in the world. That's all they believe in. And there are some who think that there are two separate things, right? There's life, and then there's eternal life. But they don't quite know how to feed each one. They don't realize, actually, they're two separate things. But I'm here to say there really are different ways of being fed for life and eternal life. So with that in mind, let's read a little bit from Deuteronomy 8, starting in the first verse. You are to take care to do the whole mitzvah that I am commanding you today, so that you may live and multiply and go and possess the land that Adonai swore to your fathers. Verse 2. You are to remember all the ways that Adonai your God has led you these 40 years in the wilderness in order to humble you, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his mitzvot or not. Verse 3. He afflicted you and let you hunger. Then he fed you with manna, which neither you nor your fathers had known, in order to make you understand that man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of Adonai. Within these three verses, I see verse 1 as meaning on this earth, life in this earth. Verse 3 speaks about eternal life. And verse 2 is a connector for the two. In a classic commentary, Rabbi Joseph Hertz, who was a fairly contemporary rabbi, he's not one of these rabbis of old. I think he passed very late 1900s, maybe early 2000. I think it's late 1900s. So Rabbi Joseph Hertz wrote in his classic commentary, Pentateuch and Haftorahs, this is what he said about these verses. Physical food is not the only thing that endures man's existence. Apart from normal sustenance, there are divine forces which sustain man in his progress through life. The words in the text are a wider application than their reference to the manna. They teach that man has a soul as well as a body, and the needs of the spiritual life should not be neglected. Rabbi Hertz limited the divine forces and spiritual life to this world only, as I interpret what he's saying. And I would say that man has a spirit which is fed by the words of Adonai. And that this is shown in the way that we live our life today. Also, that it's through this that our eternity is determined, whether it'll be with Adonai or not. Of course, when people think about being in the presence of Adonai for all eternity, what do they think? Heaven. But when we think of not being in the presence of Adonai for all eternity, what do we think of? Hell. We know that Satan tempted Yeshua at the end of his 40 days of temptation in the desert with what? The first thing he tempted him with was food. We find this in Matthew 4. Matthew 4, starting in verse 3. And when the tempter came to him and said, if you are Ben Elohim, son of God, tell these stones to become bread. But he, Yeshua, replied, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Yeshua's response to the tempter Satan is by quoting Deuteronomy 4. As is the case many times, Yeshua's use of this opportunity to quote from the Torah is not just to show a surface meaning of Torah, but a deeper meaning as well. Satan was trying to appeal to Yeshua to be fed by bread, food for his body, so that he wouldn't be hungry and become satisfied, with the hope that once he was satisfied, he would forget Adonai, forget his God. Which, of course, is just impossible, because Yeshua is Adonai as part of the triune nature. But this just shows Satan is not a God. He does not know everything, and he is wrong a lot. Yeshua not only sees through this, but shows us the next level meaning of the verse, that the physical body may live by bread, but the spirit is fed by the word of Adonai. When Yeshua quotes that man does not live by bread alone, he does not mean that the bread is not important, but that there is something that is just as important and actually more important than the bread for our body. And that's the spiritual food that Adonai provides through his word. Now, a rabbi wrote about the verse in Deuteronomy that when this verse was read to two different audiences, they take on two different meanings. To the rich audience, it takes on a meaning that food is not the most important thing in life. But to a very poor audience, one that's starving, he's saying, don't teach it that way. It's just not politically correct. They're already starving and you're telling them food's not very important. It's a poor message to give. I believe that a message should not change based on who's hearing it. Therefore, the message that fits for both the rich and the poor is that food is important because it feeds the body of this world. But we also have to say the food that feeds the spirit, the word of Adonai, is even more important. How can that be for those who are physically starving? Their bodies are eating themselves, and we're saying, you know, food's important, but there's something more important than that. Well, let's ask the question, which lasts longer, the hungry of the body or the eternity before Adonai? Which is more important? This is why we do Messiah's Manna here at Karen Orr, why we try to help out with food. Food is important, but the spiritual food is more important. This is why when we have people carry bags out to the car, they continue the conversation. And they ask, is there something we can pray with you on? And if they don't know Messiah Yeshua yet, they point out his love, so that through the food, they can get to know him perhaps a little better. A message that needs to be modified to the audience, unless it's because of a cultural understanding, is a bad message. Now, what do I mean, unless there's a cultural understanding? So let's take that phrase, bread. Man does not live by bread alone. If you were to say to a Chinese person, man does not live by bread alone, it would mean nothing to them. Because for most Chinese people in China, they never see bread. But if you say to them, man does not live by rice alone, now it means something, because they know they depend upon rice to feed their body. Now it means something, and it hasn't changed the meaning of the verse. So there are times that we can change a verse slightly so that it still means something to the audience. What if we were to say that killing is repugnant, which of course it is, And we change our message in that way. And instead of saying Yeshua was killed on the stake, we say, well, Yeshua fled. Well, Yeshua disappeared. It's changing the message. Now we can't base it on Leviticus 17 of the blood, because we changed the message that he didn't shed his blood for us. So there are certainly times we have to be very careful not to change the message. The message has to be consistent and it has to be the same in order for it to be truth. Now, some would teach that the verse, man does not live by bread alone, is teaching that there's more than one way that Adonai will provide. They would teach, and this is taught in some places, that as the Israelites left Egypt, they only had so much bread. And they ran out of that bread. So the verse that man does not live by bread alone, what happened? We know Adonai provided manna. And manna's not quite really bread. So he provided another way. So man does not live by bread alone. He also lives by manna, which you can kind of connect to his word. It's a good message. It's a good message. But I believe it misses something. Because when we look at the way that Yeshua uses the verse in coming against Satan, we can more easily see what's missing. When we continue to read down in Deuteronomy 8, we can see a bit more of the teaching of Yeshua. And what was, as he was getting tempted by the tempter, Satan. So Deuteronomy 8:11, let's go there to see a little more of Yeshua's teaching, what he was trying to get to. Take care that you do not forget Adonai your God by keeping his mitzvot, ordinances, and statutes that I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are full and have built good houses and live in them, and when your herds and flocks multiply, and silver and gold multiplies for you, and all that is yours multiplies, then your heart will be haughty, and you will forget Adonai your God. He brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of slavery. Right, so as I alluded a little bit earlier, Satan was tempting Yeshua to eat bread in the desert, to try to get his eyes off of the long term and onto the short term, the current situation, his current hunger. He basically is saying to Yeshua, here you are, hungry, and here, I'm showing you a way that you can have food right now, that you can take care of this very moment. The right now, the short term. But Yeshua knew the moment may be important, but eternity is of even greater importance. For us, the moment is important as well. We are living it. It's the only solid, tangible thing that we have. But we also have a promise and a hope of a future. And if we keep our eyes on Yeshua, on Adonai, and the promise that he made to us, then we can have that hope and a future. We are to remember that when we have good, don't forget Adonai. Satan will at times supply what looks like favor to us. He'll supply our short-term needs. But long-term loss comes from that, which is his long-term gain. That's keeping you out of heaven, out of the presence of Adonai. Do not live by bread alone. Adonai supplies bread in the desert, which was manna, but not only that. By the Torah, he supplies the eternal life, the eternal food that we need. Satan wants to supply for now and no more. He would give you enough rope to hang yourself and have your stomach full, but your soul lost. In John 6, Yeshua issues a warning for the people then as well as for us now. John 6:26. Yeshua responded to them, "Amen, amen, I tell you, you seek me not because you saw signs, but because you ate all the bread and were filled. Don't work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. For on him, God the Father has put the seal of approval." Yeshua was bringing home the point that physical food, like what he gave to all the people on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, is not eternal, but will spoil and not be good for that eternal life. It is necessary for the body to live. That's absolutely true. But our body is not eternal. When he tells them what the food for eternal life is, right after that, he tells them that it is him, that they only need to take it, and that it's a gift. Right? What do we say? Yeshua is the living word, the eternal food that we need. Now, they had a lot of trouble with this because they couldn't understand how they were to eat his body and drink his blood. And many still have that same issue today when they read through or people are told that. In John 6:28, they ask him, what do they have to do to perform the works of God? There were so many who did not understand what it was that Yeshua was trying to say and offer to him for free. It was not that he wanted them to get into their mouth and their stomach. But what he gave them was to get into their hearts, their souls, and their spirits. That is why just a few verses later, Yeshua says this in John 6:35. Yeshua said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Amen. Just as the words that Adonai gave to the Israelites on Mount Sinai was the way to life in Adonai, so it was with Yeshua, the living word, that gives life to them, although they didn't know it yet. And to us today, who should know it by now? Yeshua quotes Isaiah 54 about how the people will learn of the Messiah and the bread that leads to eternal life. Isaiah 54:13. All your children will be taught by Adonai. Your children will have great shalom, great peace. The bread of this world is not the thing that will sustain you for eternity. The food for eternity, or the wisdom and knowledge, is a gift that comes from Adonai. It is by the Torah that Adonai gave that we learn not just of Adonai, but also the plan of salvation and the food that does sustain us for eternity. I read a Jewish commentary that stated that manna was a stress point for the people of the Israelites. They stressed when they went to sleep because, right, at the end of the day, they were told they shouldn't have any manna left. So they stressed, will the manna show up the next morning again? They didn't know, or at least they doubted. They had Adonai's word, but they stressed over it. They saw it happen over and over and over again. And yet they didn't trust it. They didn't trust his history. They didn't trust his word. They didn't have faith. They've been told by Adonai. They've seen it. They didn't have faith. Perhaps that first week would be a bit stressful. You know, I'll give them the first week. A little bit of worry. That's okay. But by the next week, it should have been established. The goodness of Adonai, that he is truthful in word and deed, by then should have been established in their heart. Oh, he told us. It's happening. It's true. He is true and he is faithful. They were told, go out and collect every day except Shabbat. Double the portion on a Friday so that you don't have to go and work on Shabbat. And every time it happened, they told only collect enough for one day, except on Friday, because it's going to rot if you keep it. And it was true for every day except Friday when it didn't rot. They should have known by then. Doesn't this sound a lot like the community of believers today? They worry even though they know the word of Adonai. They've seen him in action. They've heard the witnesses. Some of them even saw miracles in their own life. Some of them provided the testimonies. But they worry because their faith is not where it should be. So they really want to collect more than they're supposed to when it's available. They want to go out on Shabbat and collect the manna when they're not supposed to. Not the way it's supposed to be, guys. Let's each take a look into our own lives and our private times when we're with the Adonai in prayer and meditation. Are you trusting for the provisions? Are you placing the current situation over the eternal situation? Yes, it's easy to do, but you should not beat yourself up if you find yourself in that place. But you should also work on building your faith up and opening the spiritual eyes so that you can see and trust and know. Eyes that see the present time are important. You have to see what's going on around you. But eternity is even more important. Have eyes of faith that see the situation not as one of want and need, but as a place that Adonai can step into and provide and cause a witness of love and protection through you. And that even if he delays, or it doesn't occur at all, would we be like the three Hebrew children in Daniel who said to the king as they were about to be thrown into the furnace that even if Adonai did not save their lives, they would not worship any other god? For all those other gods were false gods, and Adonai is the only true God. Of course, that made the king even more angry, right? What did he do? He stoked up the fires to 7 times hotter and then threw the children in, the three of them in. And what happened? Adonai stepped into the situation and saved the three. Stepped into the situation as a witness for the king, who then said, they have a god. And their God acts. And their God protects. We will either be saved in this world, or we'll just continue living with him in his presence in heaven. The discomfort that we experience in this life is just that, only for this life. There's a body that's preserved for you. No more pain, no more tears. As long as we continue in the glory with Adonai, in this life, we will continue in the glory of Adonai in our life to come, in the world to come. Amen? Amen. Father, we thank you that you are a God, not just of this world, and you do care what goes on in this world, but you are a God of eternity who cares more about our eternal salvation. So, Father, we declare with our hearts, our minds, our strength, that you are God and God alone, that there is none other but you. And we will trust you in this life, which will translate to eternal life, as long as we run the race to the end, trusting who you are, trusting in your word, trusting in your salvation, trusting in your healing, trusting in that we can say, even if it delays or even if it doesn't come, I will bow down to no other God, because they are all false, and bow down only to you and trust in you. Trust in you in this life and trust in you in the life to come. For you are Adonai, the one and only creator of everything, who recreates, raises up, and heals. And we praise you and thank you for that in Yeshua's name. And everyone says, amen and amen.